Well, I think fighting definitely has a place in hockey. I mean, I think they maybe should even encourage it a little more. You know, let the players have a couple drinks. You know, have a cigarette on the bench. Guy Lafleur used to smoke on the bench. Let them have a couple drinks and go out and, you know, really get her going. Yeah, apparently my dad was a pretty good hockey player. I never saw him play, but as soon as they dropped the puck, he'd just grab somebody and start feeding them. And he was drunk on the ice a lot, as the stories I hear. Put a 40 down before the game, they broke, dropped the puck, and he'd just go toe-to-toe with somebody, and apparently wasn't a very good fighter. He got beat a lot, but the crowd used to love it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Five Hole Fantasy Hockey Podcast. We're your hosts today, TJ, Zach, and Schmegma. I guess that makes you Schmegma. TJ, Zach, and Raj.
Yeah, that makes Rod. That's the Rod. She's talking about you like that. Hey, 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 by the way.
I meant to aim it at you, Zach. All right. So we're a fantasy hockey podcast, and that's what we're going to talk about. Five Hole Fantasy Hockey. You can find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey. We got the Fantasy Hockey Discord. You're welcome to join in. One more time, I just want to remind our listeners that during the playoffs, at least Zach and I, we're going to be taking a break. We're just going to be kicking our feet up, watching hockey. Raj is going to be doing a bunch of extracurricular goody two shoes, teacher's pet kind of stuff. What do you got going on over there?
We're doing the playoffs pools. We've already got more than double the amount of people as last year. So I'm going to be doing a few episodes of just updating that stuff. And we got maybe a few other little surprises along the way. But
Raj was offered a break. I just want to throw that out there. He was offered a break.
And not that I'm not down for, you know, fun stuff, Raj. Just for me, at least. I enjoy finally when, you know, playoffs come around and I get to watch hockey as just a strict hockey fan.
No dogs in the game. You know what I mean? Like, no dogs in the fight. Just
I don't have to root against people and shit yeah. like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm rooting against people that I like. Like, I just get to watch hockey and just enjoy the game.
I need Tarasenko to score, but I need Binnington to go to the bench for 6 minutes while he does it. And Husso comes in, and then Binnington can come back out, and he gets the win somehow.
I'll be taking a break following that when you guys move into the Dynasty stuff. That's when I'll get my break. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Fair enough. So we got the Dynasty series. We got a bunch of off-season content. We'll get it out to you guys later on. But we have a weekend preview for you. Let's talk facts, injuries, and then we'll get into opinions later, like who to pick up this weekend.
So since we're coming through the playoffs, and the way I see it is either you're not in the playoffs, so you don't give a shit, or you're in the playoffs and you are fully aware that Shea Theodore is day-to-day with an undisclosed injury. So we're going to go quick. By the way, Shea Theodore, he's day-to-day with an undisclosed injury.
Boo.
Carter Hart. Is day-to-day with a lower body injury.
Also, boo.
Shut his ass down because, obviously, we need to keep our trade value up on Carter Hart.
No, he's not going nowhere.
You got Sandstorm out there pitching 931s. Yeah, what about it? Against, you know, the second-to-worst team in the NHL. So at least that happened.
That's a resume builder.
Kirby Dach, also day-to-day. He has been playing well lately. He has an upper body injury. Stefan Nason, who you seem to like, I don't give a shit about, even though he's on the Canes, day-to-day as well. Gabe Vilardi, I do give a shit about Gabe Vilardi, also day-to-day. Thomas Chabot, he's going to be out a couple of weeks. So that is a player that if he is not, you know, number one, I don't see him as a keeper status unless you got, like, a lot of keepers. That's drop city right there. Ryan O'Reilly is getting close. So if he is back for your, you know, your finals or something like that, you can slot him in. And then Roman Josi is going to be on the Nashville road trip. Being, you know, the only worthwhile person in Nashville, there you go. As far as returns, which is a good segue since we're talking about Roman Josi here, Jeff Petrie, he is back. And Ilya Samsonov. He's coming back. Just had a baby.
His wife had the baby.
Well, he helped.
Yeah, he put it in. I wonder if he took it out. I know he put it in.
Did you guys cut the cord?
God, no. Jesus.
No.
Do they do that anymore where, like, the father cuts the cord? Or is that, like, a 1960s sort of thing to do?
I think they do. I didn't do it on either of my kids.
I would want to do it with, like, some, like I wouldn't want to cut it, like, you know, with like a scalpel. I want to use like
a surgical machete of sorts or something like that. I want to use something cool. You know what I mean?
I don't know if they make those.
You're telling me that they don't have surgical style, you know, like samurai swords and stuff like that that you can use to...
Yeah, what do you think? They're just pulling out a fucking Hanzo blade?
Yeah.
What do you think they're doing?
I'm going to throw these Chinese fighting stars and one of them is going to hit
that
umbilical cord. We get off topic. I'm sorry about that.
Headlines? Oh, storylines. Yeah, I guess we should do that. Jonathan Quick is playing really good. Made a cool paddle save. And I just wanted to highlight...
We had a lucky paddle save. That shit was lucky. He just threw stick out there.
Well, he had the instincts to throw it out there. And he knew what speed at which to throw the paddle out there. I think that was more skill than lucky. Luck. Yeah, I mean, there's luck there for sure. But you got to say his thinking was pretty quick.
Yeah, he's been playing good except for the last game. No, nobody's stopping Edmonton right now.
He was happy to get traded.
He was happy to get traded out of Columbus. I don't think he was so happy about leaving LA. The Jets are doing very poorly lately.
You did say we were going to be talking about facts. So
yeah, they are not doing so great. I have this bet with Shabab in the friggin' Discord about the most consistent point per game player in the league, Mark Scheifele, who decided to score like 50 goals this year and only have 20 assists or something, and is not going point per game. So that's not going great for me. But Ehlers is just taking laps, looking like a fucking NPC at all times, wasting time.
What's up with that? I mean,
I don't know.
They're solving things by playing him 13 minutes a night. Is that how they're going to fix this offense? I don't know.
I mean, the whole team is cold as hell.
Do they think they're in the Bedard race or something?
Well, I mean, they're friggin', aren't they? They're in the wild card race. I'm pretty sure they're up there.
Yeah, exactly.
They're most certainly in the wild card race with the Flames.
Well, they're doing it wrong.
And it's going to be like, they're going to see who can fuck up the most.
Yeah, it's brutal.
My money's on the Jets for that. Yeah, I don't know. Like, what are we doing with Jets players right now? Say you're in the finals, man. The Jets, how many games do they even have left this week? Winnipeg's got two games. They're going to play Detroit tomorrow, and then they play the Devils. They got two games. Like, what players are you actually interested in keeping at this point? Because they are cold as ice.
And Sunday isn't exactly your usual, you know, it's not your usual off day Sunday, you know? Don't get me wrong, Friday, Sundays are cool. Like, Friday is definitely a pretty damn light day. But Sunday is more of a regular day. There's, what, 9 games that day?
Yeah. Yeah, so just above off night. Yep. Look at this. I'm on Dauber Hockey right now, looking at their depth chart. And there's a snowflake emoji for players who are cold, and there's, like, a fire emoji for players who are hot. Their entire right wing core is cold. Mark Scheifele's cold. And then everybody on the left wing except Kyle Connor is cold. But Kyle Connor is just like normal. He's not hot or cold or anything. The only hot player on this team is Neil Pionk.
I beg to differ with Mr. Dauber here. Connor's got 2 points in his last 7 games. So I'd say he's qualified as cold at this point as well.
He's got 2 points in his last 3 games as well. So yes, there was a huge streak of just taking laps, but I think it's the algorithm. It's all automated. So
yeah, Adam Lowry is your best option at this point.
All right, let's move on to the next storyline here. Tristan Jarry, injured, not injured all year. It's been this way. I had Tristan Jarry inside my top 15 or something goalies, maybe 10. I'll have to go back and look, but like, is he too inconsistent to be a top 10 fantasy goalie at this point?
Yes.
Like, going into next year, like, are you thinking about Tristan Jarry as a starter for the Penguins, or are you thinking about him as the starter for your IR plus?
Penguins goalies are always like that, though. Going all the way back, right? I mean, they won the cup and had the flower on the bench.
Fleury and Murray, yeah.
Right? Like, their goalies have always been that way. So I'd never invest in Penguins goalies.
Pretty sure Jarry is a free agent this summer, I think.
Yeah, I know, but we would have been, I'm sure everybody was singing a different tune, you know, 3 weeks ago when the Penguins were making this huge push and then they fell off a cliff. So, you know,
It's like, eh, not so much now, but he was doing well.
Yeah. Now it's the fantasy playoffs, and
yeah, I'm not risking that.
I just want to be angry, so I'm not thinking about 3 weeks ago.
That's why in fantasy playoffs, these hoes ain't loyal. Like, you drop people. I'm fine. You take. You need to drop Tristan Jarry? Drop his ass. You're trying to win. Like, you're trying to
win. He belongs to the streets. Yes, he does. He does. All right, moving on. I'm with you guys. I don't know if he can be even a top 10 goalie. He is a free agent this summer. I think he's an RFA. So we'll see if they make a move on him. We'll see. I don't know that for sure. The New Jersey Devils have clinched, which is wild. They are having a hell of a year, and they have been all year. And I guess it's time to take them seriously. It just sucks that like the rest of the East is so strong. The New York Rangers have clinched. Boston has clinched the conference. No surprise there. Toronto punched their ticket. Nobody in the West has punched their ticket. It's a lot tighter over there. No one has clinched yet. It's
bad. It's bad.
Yeah. The East is the beast. They are fucking around. They're doing it. Yeah, it's going to be a while before Jersey can, you know, they're a good team, but there's just better teams. That's all I guess I'm trying to say
here. Well, let's be honest. It was the East that made, like, all of the moves at the trade deadline. All of these East teams made these moves to, like, truly make their teams much better and actual, like, you know, what you would consider contenders, and then all these teams out West are just like, meh, we're good. Other than the Canes, who are like, Shane Goss is better. That's what we need.
Did the Devils do anything? Did the Devils do anything? I can't remember.
The hell are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I think they did something.
I forgot he was there.
He's not doing nothing.
You know why I forgot he was there? Is because the Devils killed fucking Timo Meier. They killed him.
Yep.
He's gone.
He's not doing much at all since he got there.
I hate it. I really thought that was going to click, and he just got Huberto'd. I talked about that. I told you.
It's going to be okay. Yeah. Step off the ledge, TJ. It's going to be all right.
So think about Timo Meier. Think about Timo Meier at the beginning of every single year. He starts slow all the time. I wonder if his clock just like reset as soon as he got to New Jersey, and now we're just going through another slow start. You know what I mean? I'm trying to be optimistic here, but I'm drowning. Just in the last 10 games, the Kings are on a heater. Edmonton, Colorado, Minnesota, Vancouver, and the New York Rangers. One of those things is not like the other, Raj. What's going on over there? Thatcher Demko?
100% Thatcher Demko.
Yes, sir.
They've been a top 10 offensive team all year and all of last year, too. So that's not surprising. But the big difference is, in everybody's book, Demko was a top five goalie this year. People like Friedman and guys like that had him winning the Vezina potentially. So yeah, when he comes back, you win more games compared to Spencer Martin. It was actually statistically the second worst goalie who played any games this year. So that's different. Ooh. When you go from the second to worst goalie to he's top five right now. So yeah, that helped. That helps.
He's kicking ass. He really is. I mean, the rest of the teams, they kind of speak for themselves. The Oilers are just lighting it on fire. Colorado, same way. Los Angeles, Minnesota, and New York Rangers. Those are teams you'd expect, but Vancouver, just playing spoiler, ruining their draft pick chances once again.
Yeah, right?
My Patronus Matt Boldy is kicking some serious tits out there.
What did you call him?
I've said that before. Matt Boldy is my Patronus.
What? That's good. I don't even know
what that means.
It's a Harry Potter thing, man. Jesus, get with the times.
Oh, come on, Raj.
Now we can get into the mailbag, yeah?
Mailbag.
So we're going to talk about the Winnipeg Jets.
It's pretty tough to find somebody who wants to go up to Winnipeg.
This one's from Jay-Z on Discord. In the six games, I think he submitted this one like the day after our mailbag or something. So I felt bad sitting on this question. So it's probably more than six games. But in the six games that Nino Niederreiter has played on the Jets, he's had 5 points, 17 shots on goal. Daily Faceoff currently has him on the top line and top power play. Do you guys think his pace and deployment are sustainable for the rest of the season?
Yes, but I looked at his pace based on what it is now.
His pace of not scoring.
He hasn't done much.
Yeah, he's on a cold streak.
As the team has done, yeah, but he's also hitting five times a game, four times a game, so he gets you those things. I'm fine with Niederreiter as a streamer the rest of the season, sure.
Yeah.
Well, when you can't beat him, fuck him. And that's what he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, he's as good of an option as anybody.
I am by no means okay with Nino Niederreiter as a streamer for the rest of the season.
I am. Well, he does this. Whenever he gets traded, he goes hot. I think did he get a hat trick in his first game in Nashville? He does this.
Yeah, he's very streaky.
But, you know, if he keeps the deployment and Ehlers just keeps sucking, then there's no reason that he can't beat out Ehlers at this point. Ehlers is a freaking NPC. He's not doing anything. So this is the one time that I like rest of season questions, because the rest of the season is only like 2 weeks long. You know, when somebody asks it in November, like, rest of season, who do you like? Philip Peronic or, I don't know, Neil Pionk? Like, I don't fucking know. I'll tell you who I like in the next 2 weeks.
They all suck, except for Kyle Connor, Neil Pionk. No, I'm not looking at Blake Wheeler. I don't care about their schedule.
Yeah, they're tough owns right now.
They're awful. They're awful. Between them and Calgary, No, I guess I'm looking at Calgary players, but no. Nino Niederreiter, no.
Yeah, I guess at this point, we're not looking for long-term ads or, like, you know, roster builders or anything. You're just looking for this guy versus replacement players. And if you can find a replacement player that's playing better and a little bit more consistent, then 100% I go with them. But, you know, I think Nino being on the top line and the top power play while the whole team is in a slump, I don't think Nino Niederreiter is the one to blame. I think, and that's another part of this, like, you know, what are there, six games left? Does the team break out of it in the next six games? I don't know. Maybe.
That doesn't mean I'm waiting it out, though. You don't have time.
Oh, no. There's no waiting right now. There's no waiting. But what I'm saying is, do you get top line, top power play on the waiver wire? Probably not.
No, and he's playing 18 minutes.
But at the same time, we're going to be talking about players from the New York Rangers where they're on the third line. I don't care if they're on the top line or top power play. And, you know, the third line on the in New York is scoring points in bunches.
Yeah, and this is the fourth time we've talked about the kid line this year. The kid line goes hot. And then they stop.
They stop a lot. Yeah, no, I'd take Nino in a second. I mean, he's got the same amount of points as Kyle Connor in the last couple of weeks, only he has peripherals. So he's not my favorite by any means, and I'm not keeping him for next year by any means. But if you're looking for a streamer and he works out for you, I wouldn't be afraid.
I think if there's better options on the waiver wire, obviously use your critical thinking skills there, but That's how I would determine whether or not I'm making a move. Like, if you can, I'm trying to think of somebody. Nick Schmaltz, I'd probably go for him over,
yes,
Nino at this point, who's top line, top power play as well. Barrett Hayton, I think, is the same way. I'd probably Jack McBain. I'd even have Jack McBangs. Yeah. All right. So there's some more Jets talk now that Zach's blood pressure is through the friggin' roof. Let's move on to something that I know is going to make him happy, and it's dropping all goalies. Gulag, yes, Kingpin, please. On Discord. What do you guys think about dropping all goalies to get an extra off night skaters if I'm losing goalie cats by like midweek and it seems out of reach? Redraft cats with 6-3 cats in favor of skaters. And he's got the tiebreaker. Wins, goals allowed, average, save percentage. There's your goalie stats. Goals, assists, power play points, shots, hits, and blocks. What do you think? Do you just punt those categories in the middle of the week? I think if it's championship week, absolutely punt those.
100%.
Do you think you're going to be able to take all six goalie cats? Because if you're giving them a 3-0 lead, you need to win what, five of those skater cats to even take a 5-4 win. So you need to be sure that you're winning.
That is shifty.
I would do it 100%. If he's losing is the question. So yeah, if you're losing, I would definitely do that. Why try to win if you can't? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I think in both scenarios, they have a 3-0 lead on you. But in one world, you're keeping goalies on your team And the other world, you're dropping that dead weight for skaters.
And I mean, I guess it's a caveat is if that means you can get players on some off nights and get them in your lineup, don't do it. And then just have three guys sitting on your bench. Now that won't help, but
yeah,
I would 100% do that.
And obviously I guess you already have your goalie minimums out of the way.
That was going to be my other question is make sure you know that because in lots of leagues, right? If you don't meet the goalie minimums, you just lose. So you definitely got to make sure you have that covered.
What, you lose the whole week on purpose or just the goalie stats? Because I think if you're going to lose the goalie stats anyway, I think it doesn't matter.
No, that's what I mean. Like in lots of leagues, like if you don't meet goalie minimums, you just lose that week, not just goalie. Just be aware of your goalie rules.
I think if you're going to lose goalie cats no matter what, you're just taking that 3-0 handicap, I guess, and you're putting everything you can into winning five of those categories. And, you know, it's tough because you're going to try to win 5 out of 6 instead of, 5 out of 9. That's a lot harder, but, that's just what happens with goalies sometimes. Like if you are doing that and you still have another matchup next week, I'd probably rethink that strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. From Swiss Cheese on Discord, he's got a couple of questions here, both dealing with keepers. And this one's a little bit intricate, but it's a fun thought experiment. We can only have our keepers for 3 years. I have to deal McDavid at the end of the season. His looks like a Cats league. Goals, assists, power play points, PIMs, shots, hits, blocks, faceoff wins. Just the Skater Cats. Who would you rather have in exchange for McDavid? Keeping in mind that he has to trade McDavid or he loses him for nothing. Would you rather have Draisaitl, MacKinnon, Pastrnak, and Makar? So that final one is a package. For me, it's Pasta Makar.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I'm taking Draisaitl because at least you're getting a lot of those McDavid points anyway. And he's also going to score 120 points a season.
Yeah. And with faceoff wins and him being a winger, like you're getting faceoff wins from a wing position. So there's benefits there, I think, as well. He would be my second choice. I like Pasta and Makar just because Makar is not going to slow down and Pasta is. What Pasta is, he's an elite right wing.
Yeah.
So I like that, shore up two positions and then Draisaitl is my number two. MacKinnon, fine.
You're getting probably like a top two right winger and probably the Norris winner, right? So like that's, to me, that's pretty, you're taking care of two positions very well. I mean, all of that, again, nothing is worth trading McDavid in real life, but if you're forced to, then yeah, I think that's the one for me.
Yeah, I think MacKinnon is definitely third for me. Not saying he can't do it, but he hasn't broken 100 points yet. He's got a few games left and only 5 points to go, so maybe this will be the first year he can do it. Came very close, 18-19 with 99 points, but still not Draisaitl levels at this point. I would definitely have Draisaitl first.
He's slightly cursed, man. He's just slightly cursed for some reason.
That year that he got 99 points, he played 82 games. And yeah, and then the shortened season, he played what looks most of a full year. Part two of Swiss Cheese's question here. Which six are you looking to keep after the deals and whatnot? Jack Hughes, he drafted this year, so that's 3 years. Evander Kane, same deal. Brad Marchand, same deal. Ullmark, same deal. And then... Kucherov, he's got to get traded. He's got no time left on there. Brady Tkachuk, no time left. McDavid, no time left. Matthew Tkachuk, he's got 1 year left. And Timo Meier, he's got 2 years left. I think going into this question, you have three really high impact players that, you're talking Brady Tkachuk in a hits and pims league that has to get traded. You're talking Kucherov, who's probably top five fantasy player who has to get traded. McDavid, who is the top fantasy player who has to get traded. I want to know what you're getting back. Those are the three I'm getting rid of. And then if you make this deal where you're getting Pasta and Makar for McDavid, right there is two of my keepers, Pasta and Makar. So I want to know who you're getting for Brady. I want to know who you're getting for Kucherov. And then I can start to I think Jack Hughes is probably definitely going to make this list. It sucks that it's a Cats league because Hughes isn't awesome there. He does fill the offensive stuff and the shots. Probably not Ullmark, probably not Meier. just depending on what you get for Cooch and Brady.
You're keeping Marchand, though, I would imagine.
Mm.
I would still keep Matty Tkachuk, even though it's only for one more year.
But I think, like, if you can pull off, I'm not saying you're going to get the same deal for McDavid that you would for Kucherov, but if you can get somebody close, and especially if you can pair him with somebody else who has to trade somebody, you guys both benefit, you can find somebody in that same tier. You know, Brad Marchand can very easily move outside the top six.
I mean, there's 9 players on the list, 3 he can't keep, so that kind of leaves you with a 6 based on just that. But if he's able to make those trades, the first people I would drop would be Ullmark for sure, and then Marchand second would be my drops.
I would probably have Ullmark, Meyer, then Marchand as my drops. I'm definitely keeping Matty Tkachuk, even though there's only 1 year left. I want him. And I definitely want Jack Hughes. Evander Kane, definitely. Pim's hits. That's the kind of league that he's perfect for. So
that's why I would try to hang on to Meyer. I just can't believe that he was so good on such a bad team for so long. And then he was good when he first got to Jersey. I think he'll be good.
I'm stoked that he sucks in Jersey, because he's gonna fall next year.
I hope big so. Time. I hope so.
Drafts. And then I'll just get burned again, I guess. Is what it is. All right, next question from Benny Blanco Stan on Twitter. Why am I playing Ryan Nugent Hopkins in both leagues right now, and why do all of these players have their career weeks against me? And then a second question, do I drop Dahlin in a keeper league? The guy has been a pylon. No, you don't drop Dahlin. I don't know how many keepers you have, but I don't know what settings you have that he hasn't been great in. He's having a hell of a year.
I'm going to say don't drop Dahlin. So, I mean, that tells you all you need to know right there.
There you go. We're sold.
He has been a little slow, but Buffalo as a whole has been a little bit slower than they had been. But, I mean, Dahlin is kind of good across the board, right? Even when he's not scoring, he's decent on periffs. And, yeah, I don't know. I would not drop Dahlin. You're not going to get a better D off the waiver wire right now, that's for sure. Even if he's doing his worst, he's better than anyone you're going to find on the wire.
Zach, what say ya?
I say that Ryan Nugent motherfucking Hopkins is the man. He's awesome. He's awesome. I love it. I love that he's doing so good. Sucks. I love me some RNH.
Sucks you're playing him.
But I'm sorry that happens to you. But believe me, TJ and I know all about, you know, people having career, you know, weeks against you. It happens all the time where, you know, you'll be kicking ass all season long, and then boom, your team lays an egg, and the other person just, you know, gets a ridiculous amount of points for, you know, no good reason. It happens. It's called fantasy hockey. I'm sorry.
If it wasn't that way, we would just be doing accounting, basically, right? Like, that's what sports is. Sports is uncertainty, and you're almost guaranteed to have the worst possible outcome happen at the worst possible time. And that's why we love fantasy hockey and are constantly frustrated. It just is what it is.
That's the way she goes.
That's the way she goes?
That's right. That's the way she goes.
Next question from Kyle Spradley on Twitter. Congrats on winning your league, by the way, Kyle.
Screw you, Kyle.
Our league just ended and is already debating rules for next season. It's a redraft league, and we used to do one keeper, but you can only hold them for 2 years. The group wants to drop keepers, but in exchange, base their draft order off the standings. First place gets first pick. Thoughts if this is good?
Bad idea, Gene.
You will have people quitting that league by the end of next year, because if the best team gets the best draft picks all the time.
So the best team gets Connor McDavid every year.
That's just capitalism.
I mean, and we have talked about this, and other people have too, that the first overall pick isn't necessarily the best, but if you have, I mean, the people in second, third, and fourth have the best draft picks, and they're already the best, which kind of, the whole reason of reversing the standings for drafting is so that people who are either not as good or have bad teams have a chance, and that's it, right? So I don't know. I disagree with that. Just having run so many leagues, people will drop out. Like, it's just what ends up happening, whether it's fair or not. So that's why I say no.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to agree with you here on this one. If you're the last place team, and then
you're going to turn around and get the last pick in the draft? Like, I don't know. That's a tough pill to swallow. What's making me want to come back? But then again, I'm also a guy that likes keepers. In fact, I think you should have more than just one keeper. But that's just me. I think three is the perfect number for keepers, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, I love keepers. 3 to 5 is my favorite kind of league of all.
But I do like the idea of also you only get a keeper for so many years.
Yeah. And then it just recycles things, and we get into like Swiss cheese's comment where you got to make decisions. I'm with you guys. Like, I don't much like rewarding the first place. Like, obviously you want to have a prize for first place. But you know, thinking big picture here, late stage capitalism kind of thing is, the best team, like the rich just get richer and the poor stay poor. And in fact, they get poorer. So I don't know, you know, years from now, you're going to have first place teams that are just used to picking first. I don't know, maybe like make it a lottery and like have, you can do like, there's lotteries simulators online here. Like if you're in first place, you win an extra 100 balls that moves you up, like, 10% chance of getting the first draft pick. And then you guys can like, you know, have a lottery day, and that'll be fun too. But like, I also think last place, it should kind of be like the NHL. Give the last place team a chance at getting better.
Even though first overall isn't the best draft position, it's equally as bad as 11 and 12 in a 12-team league. So you should reward first place somehow for doing well, but you can't penalize the worst teams even more, because they're going to quit. You win the league, have a trophy, have some money, have whatever.
Make it a money league, yeah.
Or something, but just penalizing the last place teams, yeah, it's not going to work out well.
And especially if there is no money involved, then what the hell is the point of that guy caring?
All right. Next question here is from Kessel Likes Corn Dogs on Twitter. Thinking forward to next year. Which players are you targeting next year for a breakout? He's in a keeper league and he's thinking about some off-season trading. I think you got to let the dust settle on like trade deadline and all that kind of thing. But I got a couple players that I had in mind. Why don't you guys kick it off?
My gut reaction right away, and it's something I've been eyeing actually quite a bit, is some guys on Montreal. Doc, Caulfield, Gurionov's even looked good since getting there. But they've had no players on their team this year. Everybody's being dropped. They're going to go super late in most leagues. And Doc and Caulfield and Suzuki are great. Like, they are great. So I think you'll be able to get them at huge discounts, and for all those guys, it'll be their first real shot with all of them together. So yeah, I'm looking at Montreal, and the other guy I think could do well, who has dropped a lot and will drop a lot, is Barzal. Him and Horvat had some real chemistry, and they were hot as shit right away. And then as soon as Barzal went, the whole team fell apart, because he is their only offensive player outside of Horvat. But I think you can usually get Barzal super late in drafts anyways, but I have a feeling he's going to have a bigger offensive output next year.
I like that Montreal bit, because if the rumors are true, PLD is bound for Montreal, so we'll see if is that this year or next year. I forget when PLD's contract ends, but you know, for me, I like Jake Sanderson going into next year, defenseman out of Ottawa. Thomas Chabot's played like all the minutes for years, and I think having Chychrun there is going to help shoulder the load a little bit, but I think they're going to see Jake Sanderson kind of open up offensively, and this is a long shot. Like, I'm not going out, if you're in a keeper league, I'm not going out and trading for Jake Sanderson. I'm just kind of keeping him in the back of my head, maybe for a late round flyer next year. And there's a couple guys out of Buffalo in the depth. Like, we saw Tage Thompson explode, JJ Paterka, Jack Quinn, Dylan Cousins, that whole second line right now are three players that I'm looking for big things next year. I kind of feel like Jeff Skinner is going to tail off and just do one of his, like, Jeff Skinner is a cicada. We say this all the time. He comes up every 17 years and he just goes fucking buck wild. And I feel like next year is going to be a dormant year for Jeff Skinner, which is going to open things up for guys like Jack Quinn or JJ Paterka to be on that top line with Tage Thompson. those kind of things might happen. But I think those are three guys that are primed for a breakout. And also, I like Matt Boldy. Just keep going what he's doing. It's not like he's any secret, and his breakout is kind of this year. But I think next year he's going to do it. He's going to keep on going. I think he's going to keep on going. I think there's going to be some more defensemen, too. Like, I think Bedard is going to help whatever team he goes to, right? Surprise, surprise. Good player makes good things happen.
Let's hope Marco Rossi gets to make a little appearance.
Yeah, that could be fun. Kent Johnson's all over the news because that Michigan goal he just scored. I think he's somebody that's like got a bright future. I don't know if next year's going to be the most bright, but I think he's due.
Quick sidestep here. Have you seen the actual amount of points that Bedard is getting? It's
a lot.
Oh God, it's...
It's like, a lot.
I knew it was a lot, but I saw the number, and it's just ridiculous. Like, absolutely ridiculous. Like, 3 points a game average. It's crazy.
I gotta check my math on that, but I'm pretty sure a lot.
Yeah, I think if you add and then divide by this much, it turns out to be quite a lot of points is the math. Recently, because he lives, like, literally down the street from me, and his parents have been pleading for people to stop coming to the house. Like, he's getting so good. People are, like, coming to his parents' place now. They played a game in Calgary, and he sold out an 18,000-seat arena for a junior game. I mean, it's not like this is news to anybody, but the guy is just, it's sick. Like, it is for real, man. It's crazy.
All right, I hope that helped. Kessel likes corn dogs. Next question from Odd Pounding on Discord. What is the most heartbreaking loss that you've had in fantasy hockey? I remember, I think I was in the championship 1 year. It was the last game of the last day in the matchup, and I lost by one block, and I watched Drew Doughty block the shot, and that hurt.
The last time we did our home league, TJ, and I had just, I kicked ass just all season long. I was hands and, I was way above everybody on points four.
Yeah, I think you were like 20-2.
I was just so ridiculously above everyone else. And in the finals, just like I talked about earlier in the episode, my team just totally laid an egg. Like, I had a scoring average of like 185 or something like that. And in the finals, my team scored like 70 points. And that was how the year ended.
That fucking blows.
That's fantasy hockey.
It is. I haven't had any significantly noticeable losses other than this entire season for me. Like, I invested a lot in all my teams in Demko and Huberto, and I don't need to explain how that turned out.
Not good. Spoiler alert.
Not so good. That's kind of heartbreaking, but it's almost become comical at this point. So,
Binklemania, our buddy from Apples and Genos, who do you just plain old not trust to get you those last minute stats this week? Goalies, just goalies, any of them. Aaron Ekblad.
I avoided this by just not making the playoffs.
Well done.
But
well done.
What I would say is older players on teams that are clinched, just for the usual rest days.
Yep, they're going to rest.
Other than that, I mean, it's kind of a who knows in my opinion.
Zach, you got anybody that you don't trust? Maybe a Rob Thomas?
I have trouble trusting anybody. But no, I do very much so agree with you guys. It's you're looking for the guys in the middle of the sandwich. You don't want people that are on, you don't want to really trust guys that are on teams that are well clinched and don't have anything to play for. And you also don't want to trust, superstars on teams that also have no chance of making the playoffs and don't have anything to play for. You want those, meat of the sandwich guys who are trying to, make it into the playoffs that like have Winnipeg. Something to play for, but Winnipeg sucks, and I'm not going to say that.
Guys trying to earn a top six spot on a wild card team, you mean?
Nino. Yeah. All right, Dr. Vic 19. Seems like an obvious question that you guys might already answer in the pod, but can we get a list of the best ads for the rest of the week? I believe there are several teams that have 3 games left this week. Yes, Dr. Vic, we are going to get into that right now. Thank you for the segue. Best schedules Friday and Sunday. There are two teams that play Friday and Sunday and have three games. That's the New York Rangers and the Detroit Red Wings. So these are probably your best. Well, not even probably. They are your best options for the rest of the week. Problem being, who the hell do you even pick? Like, if you had to pick between the Rangers and Detroit, give me your best options here, boys.
So you guys said about how the kid line slows down and starts up. You know, right now they're hot, though. In all honesty, Kaapo Kakko is the least person that I would be looking for. But number one out of the list would be Filip Hedl.
Oh, that tracks.
There's three goals and two assists in his last six games. You know, three shots on goal in those same six games on average. He's a good player. I'm also looking on his left. You're looking at Alexi Lafreniere. They're both available. Hedl is 17%. Lafreniere is 22%. That's what you want. These players that they're going to get, you know, decent minutes. Filip Hedl has been taking a bigger role ever since the playoffs last year. So I like Hedl just for the future in general. And then also I like my guy Keandre Miller.
Just signed that extension.
Just signed an extension. You're right. But yeah, I do. I always like Keandre Miller. Hits and blocks. He gets points.
7 points in seven games, still happening.
Great time on ice. I think the Rangers are a great place to look.
He's got more time on ice than he's playing the same amount as Trouba over the last 2 weeks. More than Fox. And outside of that, he leads the team.
But you're not going to get Trouba, obviously, you know?
No, and I think, I mean, with the amount that Trouba regularly plays and the way he usually plays, he will probably get a little bit of time off leading into the playoffs. So I think Keandre is—he's still doing all right. I mean, I honestly thought he was better peripherally. He's good, but I also thought he was less good offensively. But he seems to be well. I mean, he's bunchy, right? He had like 6 points in two games, and then one in four games. So he does kind of go off like that.
I bet those games where he didn't have points, that's where he's stacking up the perps. He's got the puck so much, scoring. You can't hit. You're not blocking shots if you have the puck.
I mean, they won 6-0 and 7-0 in those two games. So he got in on that. But yeah, he's a good all-around option for sure. For sure.
Dig it. All right, Detroit, who we like? I think you hit the nail on the head here with David Perron. And Raj, you had him in your week preview. So, I mean, that's perfect. He had a hattie.
Oh, I had to bring that up because I called him out one day and the next day he had a hat trick.
For sure.
But yep. He's good. He is good. And he's a power play guy. He's been wildly inconsistent this year. But I think, yeah, he's as good option as anybody. I don't like the Carolina game, but I do like the Winnipeg and Toronto games for scoring. So,
and I think he is definitely, you know, the number one option that you're going to be looking at here. This was definitely a little harder than, you know, the Rangers. You know, you could look at an Andrew Kopp who's 13% or a Lucas Raymond who's 34%. But in all honesty, they're just not doing it. And the Red Wings don't have the depth that they had at the beginning of the season. Remember we were saying like, hey, they have all these good players in this top six. They almost have a top nine now. And yeah. Then hockey happened, and it didn't work out like that. The only guy other than that I'd be looking at, and this is pretty much strictly for, more for periffs than anything else, that's Jake Walman. He is super available, obviously, because you've probably never heard of him. but he's great for blocks, and honestly, he shoots more than you'd honestly think he does. He doesn't score, but if he keeps on taking those shots, he's gonna at some point in time, and you're getting the periffs. So I mean, if you're looking to take a flyer on a guy who's gonna be playing three games in 4 days, and you need to fill that in, you know, he's a defenseman. So I mean, you might have some more room there than you would on, you know, centers or left wingers or something like that. But I could look at Jake Walman.
Can I draft Kubalik from November? Is that possible? Because I'd take that.
I don't know if he's coming back.
No, he's not. What's weird is he's the leading shooter on the team still, which is odd.
Their goalies. I don't know if I'm touching their goalies, but yeah, actually, I'm not touching their goalies. Huso's out. Nedeljkovic and Hellberg. No thanks. Calgary. They're playing two games, but it's Friday, Sunday, and we're looking at what are they? They're playing Vancouver and then Anaheim. Michael Backlund, I think, is the best option here, and Mangiapane. You know, these are two guys that are shoot that shoot a bunch, and I think Mikael Backlund would be the guy that I'd be going for first. I think I would take three games of Filip Hedl over two games of Mikael Backlund. But then you got to go into your roster and you got to see, are you even able to get a Hedl in on Thursday? So if you can't, then it's just between those two games. I'm leaning Mikael Backlund. Like if it's two games each, yeah, give me Mikael Backlund. Anaheim and Vancouver, yes.
You can score. I mean, even though they have Demko, they still don't have defense. So yeah, I'm all in on that. I mean, Huberto still not doing it very much. Blake Coleman is actually a little bit better than he a lot better than he has been. He's actually getting some points and he's always hitting. So if you're really in need, you could maybe go for a Coleman as well.
And actually, Zach, he's taking a phone call right now, but he's not wrong. Mackenzie Weegar looks like he's coming back. 7 points in his last seven games, shooting a bunch, hitting a bunch, blocking a bunch. Yeah, maybe Weegar, maybe we see a late season resurgence out of him. That would be great. But he's 70% rostered, so you got to just go check on him. That's who I'd look for there. There's not really much else to look at in terms of like availability. It's just nothing really sticks out. Winnipeg. I mean, we talked enough about Winnipeg. Jesus. Vancouver. Yeah, there's actually some options here.
Let's move on to Vancouver. They do have a couple of decent options. Brock Besser is a legit option again. He's right wing, 45% owned, so he's very much available. And he's playing good minutes again. He scored in the last three games. And as you mentioned earlier, now that they aren't supposed to win, they're just doing amazing. Their offense is just, it's been crazy. Over the last 10 games, they're four goals a game given. So, yeah, I'm a good Besser is good. Like, he shoots, he scores. Filip Hronek, I put, like, literally, I guess. I'm sure glad the Canucks got him. It's the best move they made in the entire season, in my books. But the issue is kind of what he ran into in Detroit, right? Is you're not going to be more offensive than Quinn Hughes. So you're not going to get PP1, and the Canucks load up their PP. So he's not going to have offensive opportunities unless it's 5-on-5. He's only got one assist in the four games, but he is really good on a team that's scoring a lot. If you need somebody for like general stats, right? Because he gets you a block, a hit, maybe a point, but he's not special. Like, he's not like a Radko Gudas where you're like, I am definitely getting 5 to 10 hits tonight. He's not that, but he's decent. And then finally, we can call Kuzmenko a just go check.
Yeah, it just took all year.
It only took 60 games of point per game, which is what he is. Over the last 60 games, he's point per game, and they've just been killing it. He's super fun, too. I don't know if you guys... I mean, obviously, we're filled with him in the media here, but he's a fun player, too. Yeah. Like, he's easy to root for, eating hot dogs on the bench and stuff. And love boy. It.
I think Beauvillier deserves a shout-out here. I know he's not doing, like, so well right now with only three assists in his last 2 weeks. That's eight games. But there's 15 shots there. There's 10 hits there. There's five blocks there. And I think what's most attractive is he's 14% rostered. So if somebody's got Brock Besser at close to 50% already rostered, if somebody's got Kuzmenko already, and you're not exactly in the mood for a Phil Hronek, who even himself, he's 42% rostered. So, like, you know, Beauvillier is probably the guy that's out there for you. And I think his likelihood to hit at his ownership level, like, you know, the bang for the buck is basically what I'm trying to get at. I think it's there. I don't know what they're doing with Dakota Joshua on the top line or Phil DiGiuseppe, but I think Beauvillier, maybe he worms his way back into the top six. And I think that top power play looks pretty good the way it is with Besser and Kuzmenko, but I just wanted to give Beauvillier a shout out here.
he could bounce back to where he was. He just came in so hot. And I mean, it was so obviously trying to make the trade look good by putting him on the top line. But yeah, he's down to 12 and 13 minutes lately. But if you're willing to play the bounce back, especially they got Calgary, LA, Seattle, Chicago are their next few games. So if he's gonna come back, this would be the time. This is the only time left. So this would be the time.
All right, teams with three games left, but they're playing the busy Thursday and the busy Saturday. That's Boston, Carolina, New Jersey Devils, Ottawa, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Columbus, and Anaheim. Yeah, so those are pretty much your Sunday teams, because I don't know if you're getting in on an 11-game Thursday or a 13-game Saturday, if you're going to have bench issues there or not. I think if we're talking goalie streams for this weekend, there's a few that I like Saturday, Sunday. I think Carolina at Montreal is a good place to look. The Devils versus at Chicago is a good place to look. Whoever the New Jersey Devil goalie is, whoever the Carolina goalie is, if you can get their hands on him. Pretty sure Antti Raanta is coming back pretty soon. If he's playing Montreal, that's the easy money for me. Ottawa at Columbus, I think, is a good one.
But you're still looking at Kochetkov otherwise in that situation. And I love Kochetkov.
Both good options. Both good options, exactly. Toronto at Ottawa, like I would go for Toronto goalie if they're out there. But like Ottawa just has a habit of walloping Toronto. I don't know what it is. So I don't know if I feel great about that game, especially on like a Sunday that could very well be. Is it Sunday? No, it's Saturday. But like, I don't know. I don't want that kind of smoke in the last 2 days of my fucking fantasy season. I just don't. I would much rather go for sure things like, you know, playing Montreal or playing Chicago or Columbus. Those are that's what I'm going for. I want those cherry picking ones. All right, that's that. And then there's the next week best schedules. I mean, it's hard next week. There's no teams that have, there's a bunch of 4-game teams, but like it maxes out at one off night. The highest number of off nights is Anaheim, but they have 3 games. So it's going to be a hard streaming week. It's a very heavy week. I don't know if there's going to be any week-long options. If I have tips going into next week, it's make sure you're set going into it. Like if your matchup is over by Saturday, make your moves for next week because you're going to be doing spot starts. We're not doing week-long pickups. We're doing spot starts next week.
If anything I would say about next week, and I truly feel this way, it's start off with Seattle. Seattle is one of those teams that is in the mix that is, you know, trying to solidify a playoff spot and, you know, solidify a wild card spot and whatnot. And they start off with 3 games in 4 days against Arizona, Vancouver, and then Arizona again.
Yep, there's only a couple other teams that have 3 games in 4 days to start the week. That's Vegas, but their schedule looks a lot less favorable. And the Predators, again, they're playing like Dallas, Vegas, Carolina. So getting in on those Kraken to start the week next week, that's your move.
Their 4th game is Chicago too. So Seattle is actually kind of week long if you can get it.
But that's a 16-game Saturday, you know?
That's rough.
That is rough. Every team in the NHL playing. What do we have? 14 games on Thursday. It's a weird week. Very, very weird week.
And then what? You're loading up on, you're dropping everyone on your team and trying to pick up everyone for Boston.
Ducks in Colorado. For Sunday. Yeah, Boston or Colorado.
Boston's playing the Flyers.
Yeah, it's going to be Morgan Frost and Joel Farabee for the win. But all right, that's it for the weekend preview. This is really crazy long for a weekend preview episode, but hope you guys are digging it. You know, we're getting into the dog days of the season. So if you guys, you know, had a good time this year, be sure to leave us a review. We love it. We always like screenshot and, you know, have it feels good when you guys like it. So go ahead and give us a review if you guys are digging it. And find us on Twitter at FHF Hockey or hop in the Fantasy Hockey Discord to get in on those playoff pools. Raj, one more time, tell the people where they can do that.
Well, both of those places, you can best to DM me. I don't like posting the invites publicly because then we get a whack of bots coming into the leagues. A whole whack. So hit me up on Discord. We have a channel there called I Want In. And if you just put a message in there for me, I'll get you league invites. There is the pick any 20 players, zero effort league, where you just pick 20 guys and that's your team. And you can watch the playoffs and drink and then see what happens by the end. And then we have, at this point, we're up to 5 head-to-head leagues. And we're just adding more as people want in. So hit me up for either of those.
Right on. So there it is. We'll catch you later on in the week. Until then, we love yous.
Love ya.
Love yous.